Let me start with a joke. A man sees a sign at the zoo. It read, "Beware, the animal spits." And he was. Not much laughter, is there? Might think, that's the worst joke in the world. It doesn't make sense. Ez has lost the plot. Now, let me tell you, it is a very funny joke. And for those who got it, it is funny, isn't it? Maybe not for you, but for me and for everyone who's got it so far, it is very funny. Because we get to see the look on your face going, what on earth is happening here? And maybe during dinner time or something tonight, you'll finally get, oh, beware the animal spits. He was. Anyway, come to me later and I'll explain it. The thing about riddles like that is that only the curious are drawn in. You know, if you have no interest at all, you just tune out, whatever. Or in Jesus' words, when he tells parables, he says this, doesn't he? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, if you hear this and you want to know more, come to me. Now, at this point in Mark's gospel, Jesus has been preaching about the coming of God's kingdom. And when he talks about God's kingdom, he's not talking about a geographical area. It's not a land mass. He's talking about the extent of his rule. That is his citizenship. Those who will listen to him as king and acknowledge him as king. Already, through his ministry, in these first three chapters, there's already been massive crowds coming to him, and it's no different here. We read from chapter 4, verse 1. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on that land. And it's at this point Jesus decides to start teaching in parables. So let's quickly look at this parable once more. He was teaching them many things in parables, the crowd. And in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path." And this path, it's so packed down by people walking on it that the seed won't sink down at all. And so the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And so you were picturing a thin layer of topsoil with a layer of rocks underneath, and immediately it sprang up. But because there was no real soil, it withered. When the sun rose, it was scorched. It had no root. It withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. This third soil, this time, it has the right depth. But again, the same exact result, isn't it? It yielded no grain. Three kinds of seed sown, well, actually three of the same seed sown in three different soils so far, and three different initial responses. Some of it dies straight away, some of it dies a bit later, but all of them have the same unhappy ending. No harvest. Now, my question is that when there is no harvest, is it the seed's fault? Is it the seed's fault? No, it's not, is it? What's the issue? Why isn't there a harvest in these three soils? Well, it's a soil, isn't it? It's the ground it goes in. The soil here, in these three soils, is not ready for the seed. But there is a category of soil that's ready for seed, and we read from verse 8, "And other seeds fell into good soil, and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And so this last soil, it doesn't just lead to growth, does it? It leads to an extravagant yield. So extravagant, in fact, that scientists have tried to figure out, could this have happened? You know, someone's very, very nerdy when they go back 2,000 years in history and measure soil temperatures and figure out, can one seed really grow that much? And apparently, Scientifically, it is theoretically possible that one seed can produce 30 or 60-fold or 100 heads of grain. It is possible, but typically an average yield in Jesus' day, I don't know how they would have figured this out, would have been one seed producing 7.5 heads of grain. Very nerdy, isn't it? I don't know how you get 7.5 heads of grain, but there we go. So this picture here that Jesus is giving of this fourth soil is a phenomenal blessing. But notice that at this point, Jesus stops. He doesn't keep teaching to the crowd because the next part is to his disciples and those who came to him. He gives this parable without explanation to the crowd. Now, why might that be? Well, I think it's because we think of parables kind of like sermon illustrations, right? They're to aid understanding. We kind of think of parables as, well, if you've enjoyed a Sunday school education, you probably remember, it's been drilled into you, what a parable is. And so maybe we can say it all together. Let's see if you remember. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Okay, 8:30 was much more attentive in Sunday school, apparently. Or maybe they just particularly knew that definition. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It's been drilled into us. It's sort of true. Here we have the parable of the four soils. Four soils, three of them failing to accept the seed and produce a harvest, and only the last one producing harvest, a plentiful one at that. And it seems like what Jesus is doing here is using a familiar concept that people in that day would have been very, very familiar with, an agricultural concept, to make a spiritual point, as if spiritual things were just too difficult to understand, and that's why he has to come down to earth a bit and use terms we understand. And that's where it's not true at all. Not true at all, because if you see how Jesus uses parables here, is he using parables as illustrations to make heavenly things easier to understand? Or is he doing the opposite, actually, making it harder to get to the point of it? You see, this is what verse 10 to verse 12 says. When he was alone, so the crowd has left, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, those who haven't come to him, everything is in parables, so that," and this is his reason for it, "they may indeed see, but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." Wait a moment, is Jesus saying here that he doesn't want some people to actually understand the good news of the kingdom? Is he saying that he doesn't want some people to hear and be saved? Well, yes, he is, actually. In verse 33 and 34, Mark also tells us a bit of why Jesus used parables. With many parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. You see, he's not making it easier for the crowd to understand, is it? He's making it harder, which is strange for a teacher, right? Think of him, Jesus teaching about the kingdom. Why doesn't he want everyone to understand what he's teaching about? The kingdom of God, and everyone needs to understand what's happening here. So thousands of people turn up on the beach on that day to listen to Jesus, but only a select few hear what it's really about, only to have the true meaning revealed. What's going on here? Well, we will learn here that Jesus' intention for his parables aren't to aid understanding. They're designed to be riddles. They're riddles to draw certain people in. Now, a man sees a sign at the zoo, "Beware, the animal spits." And he was. It's not funny unless it makes sense. Unless you bother to lean in, take a closer look, only then Will you become a part of an elite group of insiders who know? Until then, you're an outsider with a puzzled look on your face. What Jesus is saying here is that parables are the gateway to truth and even the gateway to the kingdom, because the purpose of the parable is to separate people. Those who seek will find. Those who knock, it will be open to them, Jesus mentions elsewhere. But those who listen superficially, they'll never get to the truth because they are not hungry enough. They do not care enough. And so, just in case you are, stop thinking about the man at the zoo. You know, I know that's my fault. That's the preacher's fault to mention something for you to think about during the sermon. But come back to me, with me, to the parable of the four soils. What is Jesus saying in here? He is separating people, isn't he? He's separating people between people who will listen superficially, who hear but do not hear, and people who will dig deep into his word and bear fruit. Now, we saw a few weeks ago that Jesus saw his ministry as one of preaching and teaching the good news of the gospel, and it's quite easy to equate his teaching with providing information. That's all Jesus is trying to do here. When in reality, he taught not to provide information, but to do something much more important. That is to confront. And of course, if you're listening, if you're really listening here, what Jesus is confronting us with is this question. Which soil are you? Which soil are you? Now, if you leave here and go home today and start saying, wasn't Jesus a great storyteller? No, that was a great story he told. It reminds me I've got to take care of my lawn. I wonder if I've got enough topsoil. If you're thinking those thoughts, guess what? You're the first soil. And millions of people have heard Jesus' words in exactly the same way and responded the same way. It's just an interesting story. It's just a great storyteller. That's all he is. He has nothing more to say. It's something that I can leave behind on Sunday and go on my merry way on Monday. You see, what Jesus is saying here is there is a difference between listening and really listening. He talks about this more in verse 21. He said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. He said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. What Jesus is saying here is, if you've got your ears open, if your heart is ready for God's word, he will keep speaking to you. He will keep blessing you by his word. But if you're not really paying attention, actually, God's not going to give you any more. Because the purpose of the parable and the purpose of his word is not just to give information, but to judge where your heart is actually at, whether you are receptive, whether you are humble, whether you are ready and willing to hear your king speak to us. It's a warning to us that you can turn up, but you can tune out. Just like the crowd beside the Lake of Galilee that day, you can turn up and you can tune out. Only a select few came to Jesus at the end. You know, this week at SweatCon, I was very much tempted to do that, to tune out. One morning, our morning speaker, Al Lucabia, was speaking. He was speaking beautifully from the book of Ruth, very powerfully speaking through that book. And I can send you a link to the talks online if you like them. But, you know, while he was speaking, I had some things on my mind. You know, some emails I needed to attend to, and I was thinking about some work I needed to get done. And so I started to get my mobile out, even got my laptop out at one point during the talk. When I realized, wait a second, God is speaking to me right now. My king is speaking to me right now. And I am too distracted, too busy, even for ministry. I'm too busy serving him to be served by him when I need it most. Now, I wonder if sometimes you treat God's word like that too. You know, we can go through the motions, can't we? We can come to church, hear the word being preached. We can even at home be doing our own Bible reading, but you can turn up and tune out, can't you? And sometimes I try in my efforts to read more Bible. I hear the Bible through audio Bible in my car rides just to make more things efficient. You know, I've been going through the book of Numbers right now, and let me tell you, Numbers is not a book you really want to hear out loud. It's just, and there were 10,000 people, and there was 300 people, and there's, you know, it's absolutely mind-numbingly boring. And the thing is, not God's word. That's me, isn't it? And I can drive for 15, 30 minutes and suddenly go, I didn't hear a word that was said. Nothing has gone in. I might have felt like I'm a good Christian man. I've done my Bible reading for the day. 30 minutes, yeah. But nothing has gone in. That's the problem, isn't it? You can turn up, but you can also tune out at the same time. And so let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a serious question, actually. Are you really listening? Are you really listening to your king? When was the last time you were seriously confronted by God's word? When was the last time you came to church ready to be confronted by God's word and knew that you had to leave, changed, because that's what God's word does. It transforms, renews us. When was the last time you felt like you needed to wrestle with something God has said to you by his Spirit through his Holy Scriptures? When was the last time you knew, after you heard God speak, as the Lord convicted you of your sinfulness, I have to kill that sin? When was the last time you had to make a change in your life as God challenged you through his word to give up your life more fully for his lordship? Because if the harvest is not there in our hearts, it's not the seed's fault, is it? It's the soil. It's us. Because every time God speaks, it always has an effect. This is from Isaiah chapter 55. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. It's never the seed's fault, is it? God's word always does the work, whether we are ready or not. The difference is whether it is there to sit in our hearts, to grow deeply, to flourish as we grow in his word, or whether it sits on the surface, condemning us because we have not been ready. As much as I appreciate when people say, particularly at the door, you know, great sermon is. I'm happy for you to keep saying that, by the way. It's nice to know that I've served you well. It is an encouragement to me. So, you know, feel free to, you know, someone at 8:30 said, I'll never say that to you again, is. As much as I appreciate that, what brings the most joy to a preacher's heart is when the listeners have really engaged, wrestled with God's word, seeing what it does to the heart and to their lives, asking questions like, is this what God has really said to me? Is this what I have to do with my life now? I love those kind of questions. And so to help us in this, I thought, I'm going to try something next week. We're going to try a Q&A. So after our sermon, maybe we'll sing a song first to kind of get our thoughts in order as well and to reflect a bit. I'll get back up and we'll have a time of questions and answers. And I might not know all the answers, but that's fine, because the whole point of that is so that we can engage deeply, dig deeply into God's word, not let it just bounce off us as we hear it and then go off in our merry ways, but ask those critical questions that help us get to the next step. What does this mean for my life? Is this what this is saying? we're going to try that next week so that we will not just be hearers of God's word, but doers of God's word. And so, brothers and sisters, let me close with these questions. Will you let the kingdom of God flourish in you as you hear his word? Will you truly listen to your king? Well, we need God's help for that. So will you please join me in prayer? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that to us you have revealed the secret of the kingdom of God through your scriptures, that we do perceive the hidden truth about Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And so thank you for not leaving us in darkness. Thank you so much for teaching us about your kingdom, that we may know and we may trust and we may obey. And so please give us hearts ready to listen now, ears to understand. And we ask that even today that you would not let your word bounce off us or wither or be choked out by pleasures and worries and distractions of life. Please let this word sink deeply in our souls this week and every week, that we might bear fruit and multiply 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold as we live in trust and service of you. We also praise you that this gospel is still indeed bearing fruit all around the world, silently sometimes, but surely as people hear the name of Jesus, turn to him, trust him. And so we ask also that we might be part of this great kingdom work of sowing your word, knowing that it will produce a harvest in time for those who have ears to hear. Please bring them to us as we preach your word, that you might produce that harvest just as you promise. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.